Americana by Don DeLillo. Read by George Newbern.
Then we came to the end of another dull and lurid year. Lights were strung across the front of every shop. Men selling chestnuts wheeled their smoky carts. In the evenings, the crowds were immense and traffic built to a tidal roar. The Santas of Fifth Avenue rang their little bells with an odd, sad delicacy, as if sprinkling salt on some brutally spoiled piece of meat. Music came from all the stores in jingles, chants, and hosannas, and from the Salvation Army bands came the martial trumpet lament of ancient Christian legions. It was a strange sound to hear in that time and place, the smack of cymbals and high-collared drums, a suggestion that children were being scolded for a bottomless sin, and it seemed to annoy people. But the girls were lovely and undismayed, shopping in every mad store, striding through those magnetic twilights like drum majorettes, tall and pink bright packages cradled to their tender breasts. The blind man's German shepherd slept through it all. Finally, we got to Quincy's place. His wife opened the door. I introduced her to my date, B.G. Haynes, and then began counting the people in the room. As I counted, I was distantly aware that Quincy's wife and I were talking about India. Counting the house was a habit of mine. The question of how many people were present in a particular place seemed important to me, perhaps because the recurring muse of airline disasters and military engagements always stressed the number of dead and missing. Such exactness is a tickle of electricity to the numbed brain. The next most important thing to find out was the degree of hostility. This was relatively simple. All you had to do was look at the people who were looking at you as you entered. One long glance was usually enough to give you a fair reading. There were 31 people in the living room. Roughly 3 out of 4 were hostile. Quincy's wife and my date smiled at each other's peace earrings. Then I took BG into the living room. We waited for somebody to approach us and start a conversation. It was a party, and we didn't want to talk to each other. The whole point was to separate for the evening and find exciting people to talk to, and then at the very end, to meet again and tell each other how terrible it had been and how glad we were to be together again. This is the essence of Western civilization. But it didn't really matter because an hour later, we were all bored. It was one of those parties which are so boring that boredom itself soon becomes the main topic of conversation. One moves from group to group and hears the same sentence a dozen times. It's like an Antonioni movie. But the faces were not quite as interesting.